Aloha, church. Then you know where we spent vacation last month? We were in Hawaii. Well, maybe, can you take this away for now? And the weather was really hot. The food and the culture were unique, but very expensive. So if you want to go to Hawaii, make sure you have saved enough money to go. I just want to ask you, how many of you have a favorite verse in the scriptures? How many of you? I'm sure many of you have. Wonderful. Maybe someday you can recite it to me. When I was in high school, back to 1982, the year I graduated in high school, it was a Christian high school in Alberta. So in the yearbook, underneath your picture, we were asked to put down a favorite verse. So at that time, I just came to Canada less than 2 years, so when the paper passed it to me in the class, I did not know what it was or what is that for. So I just heard a favorite verse, so I just wrote it down, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. So you can look it up. And then when I opened the yearbook, I look at my picture, and underneath, that was Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Oh, my goodness. I thought that was something meaningful to me, but I didn't mean to put it down as for yearbook, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And so that was my favorite verse forever in the yearbook. And there's a one for the nation of Israel, too. So now we can see this is a Shema, and a very important verse for the Jewish community. Blessed are we who every morning and every evening saying, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one law." Of course, it's from verse 4 right here. Today, I just want to go through this with you and these few verses. As you might know, or you did not pay attention to the bulletin or on the website, the quarter theme for this the last 3 months of this year is followers who submit to God. So I just want to talk about obedience, submissions, but you all started with at home. So this is my argument today, and we need to learn obedience, not from the church. You see, a lot of parents thinking that, you know, I send my kids to the church Friday night or Saturday or Sunday, and hoping and expecting the church will teach my kids to be wonderful, godly Christians, when Monday to Friday, you have nothing to do with that. And I don't think this is the right attitude or right thinking, because according to the scriptures, Moses right here and saying that it all started at home. So today I just want to study these few verses with you, and hopefully we can look at it and see the importance of teaching obedience at home, not just expecting from the church. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 2 and 5, very important. I know it's very small, so you can look at to your phone. And I think there's structures that I want to show you, and the so-called a cycle. How do we learn all these things? And according to what Moses writes here in chapter 6. So I have 3 points I want to share with you today. The first one is cultivate the family. How many of you have been bothered by a screaming child in the mall, on the airplane, all those things? You know, I saw kids screaming in the candy store, in the toy store, trying to grab some toys, and the parents just say no, and the kids respond with screaming. You know, just try to overcome the parents and destroy his will or her will so that he or she can get the toy or the candy. And I look at them and say, and the parents try to calm them down. No, shut it. Don't scream. And I look at them and say, wow, too late. You want to teach them now not to scream in the mall? looking at the candies and the toys. Too late. You should have taught them at home before you take them to the mall. So should I go through the lesson with them before we drive to the mall? No. What I'm saying is we need to teach our children. They might not get what they want all the time. You see, I am the no father. You know, everybody knows that when the kids are 2 years old or less than 2 years old, they always say no, 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 no. And even me as 40-some years old at that time or 30-some, I say no to my kids all the time. So I was the one saying no, 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 no to them all the time. So when they go to toy store, they won't scream when I say no, and they just walk. You cannot teach them in the mall after a Coke, a bar of candy or chocolate, and they are so full of energy, and all of a sudden you try to control them. No, it's too late. You need to teach them when you have opportunities at home. Not in the mall, not on the plane when they are tired, they are screaming, and you try to tell them not to. To me, it's too late. You are not doing your job. You should teach them, help them to understand while they are at home, while just you and them. Not in the public, because in the public it's very difficult. It hurt to their spirit, it hurt their emotions, and it was not the right place to do it. So cultivate this in the family. And I think it's very important because Moses, before he entered the promised land, you see, Deuteronomy is a very important book, as we all know, the last book of five books, Pentateuch. And this one, a lot of people comment, is a summary of all the teachings and prepare the nation of Israel before they enter into the land, the promised land. So this talk that Moses had with them, chapter 6, it was preparing them, even before they enter into the promised land. As I said, before you go to the mall, knowing your kids will go wild, you should teach them at home, prepare them as they face all these kind of so-called temptations, things that they want, but at that time you will not give it to them. You give them what they need, everybody knows that, but all the time, or may not be all the time, you simply cannot give them all what they want. But you cannot do it in the mall when they are looking at a huge toy and say, no, you don't get it. Of course, he goes crazy, or she goes crazy. Just like Moses here, he teaches his people first before this happened. And he's telling them, you need to study, I will teach you, Moses said, I will teach you. The word teach is the first time ever, seriously. I did not know that until I prepared this message. The word teach, very simple Hebrew word, the first time showing up is right here in the book of Deuteronomy. God expects Moses to teach, just like parents. We need to teach our children. You cannot give this responsibility to the church, to the pastor, or to the volunteers, and hoping that they will do the job. And I'm asking you, have you done your job at home? You have your kids 24/7, 7 days a week. You have them all the time, and you don't do anything, and then you expect the pastor to do something when they are here just for 2 hours or 3 hours. So Moses prepared them before they enter, and he said that I will teach you all this, what God expects us to do, and then what? He's not saying that that's all you need to do is just to learn what God expects us to do. He said that when you go into the land, you need to do all this. Brothers and sisters, we love academic Chinese because we put a lot of emphasis on education. So as Moses right here, he said that I would teach you, and I hope that you would teach your children at home Same thing, but not just intellectually. Let them learn more, but never practice what they know. And education is more than just learning something. It is important for our Chinese people too, because I think we all know that. I look at the statistic, it's 20 years ago, but if I was 20 years ago, the salary I got, I think it was very, very accurate, these numbers. High school dropout, I think they make a very little. Well, according to this number, the dropout, a high school graduate earned $1.2 million. And bachelor, in your lifetime, this number is 20 years ago. If you have a bachelor degree, you make $2.1 million average. Master, you make $2.5 million. PhD, you make $3.4 million. 20 years ago, those numbers. And US dollars. And professional degrees, like dentists, medical doctors, you make $4.4 million. I'm sure we make way more than that. So we understand the importance of education. But for some reason, when it comes to the scriptures, we don't see it. We don't see the importance of teaching our children. We don't see this is important for them. But Moses said it's very important. And he talked about this teaching, and the word teach occurred 70 times in this book. And you will know that this is a very important. The reason we need to teach so that our children, ourselves, could carry out what we learn. Because during that process, why are we doing that? It's fear. If you look at verse 2, fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping and doing all his decrees. Fear, and verse 5, love. You see, they are not conflicting to each other. A lot of people say fear, love, they don't go to each other. But this fear is more than just reverence, respect, and honor. Because my kids actually fear me when they were young. Because I would tell them to do this, not to do this. The reason I'm doing that, because I'm thinking about long term. I'm thinking about their future. I'm thinking about when they grow up, what kind of person that I want them to be. I want to develop their EQ, not just IQ. Fear the Lord your God at doing all that. Verse 3, and the blessings that will come. And this blessing is come from the God that will promise everything. And verse 4, telling us who that is, the only God. And then verse 5, love comes. A lot of people argue, it's logical to think about that way too. I think is to we follow God's word because we love God. The motivation is love. But think about it. Go a little bit deeper. The way that Moses present, and I think if you look at another word verse that later on I will show you, you will see that actually is by motivated by honor, respect, but love will come when we follow God's way and he bless us, like verse 3. And then the love will come, the appreciation, responding to God's blessings. And then we love God and then we motivate us to obey even more. So it's like a circle. But it will start from top first. My top is not love. My top is fear. Fear to obey God. In order to obey God. And then when we obey God, the blessing comes. And then because we are blessed, that we actually responding with strong love. Acknowledging that he is the only God that we need to worship. And so this is what Moses laid out. And I think it's very important that we really need to learn about that. The second point that I want to share with you is cultivate the love. How many of you remember the song, who sang this song? The Greatest Love of All. Some maybe before you were born. the greatest love of all? Who sang that song? Whitney Houston. Do you know what the lyrics say in those? The greatest love of all is learning how to love yourself. So that was the message she was singing to the whole world. The greatest love of all is learning to love yourself. And she ended up with people called 4D, drugs, depression, divorce. At the end was her own death. The greatest love of all is right here, verse 4 and 5. It's our Creator, Yahweh, the true God, not ourselves. Because if you love yourself or your children more than God, at the end, all you get is anxiety, sense of insecurity, all those negative feelings that you have. Because your focus, our focus is wrong. The greatest love of all is not ourselves, our children, our possessions, our money, our fame, all those things. Moses said, that is the God, the only God in this universe who provides everything we need. But the thing is, we need to obey. We need to submit. Not only you, but teach your children to do the same. So what do you teach your children to do the same? And I think it's very important that we really understand love, how much you really love God is by action. It's not just empty words. A lot of us talk about loving God, but we have done nothing. The greatest love is to focusing on God, but not ourselves. The last one, very quickly, the last one I want to spend a little bit of time is cultivate our hearts. Verse 6, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Verse 6. Well, we all agree everything starts from the heart. Right here, starts from the heart. Because in Matthew, Jesus says something very similar. But I think this is very important. Because look at this. I want you to read this carefully because when I studied this verse, Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. I thought it's another way around, just like the logic that we have. We are motivated to follow God's command because we love Him. My suggestion is look at it from a different angle. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart be also. When I look at that verse, I thought I read it wrong. Some years ago, I was preparing message, Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. I thought I read it wrong, so I read it again. For Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there your heart be also. He did not say that where your heart is, you will find your treasure. He go the other way around. For where your treasure is, your heart will be there. If you treasure God's commands, your heart will be there. But we don't do it. That's the problem. Where's your heart? What is in your heart? I was have a conversation with my girls some years ago when they were very young. You know, my wife and I, Simo and I, sometimes we talk about money, we talk about mortgage, offering, all that, and our daughter just sit there listening, and we said that we need to do tithing, and then we have to explain to my daughters what tithing means. It's 10% of your income, but he said, my daughter said, Papa, I don't have income. I said, it's okay, you don't have incomes, and you can do offering, because income, tithing is related to your ability to produce. You know, if you produce, you're making money, then it's the time for you to do tithing. So what's the tithing? 1/10, before tax. What is tax? A lot of people argue with God, maybe I can do tithing after tax. save some money. And I would tell my daughters, no, it's before tax, 10%. And obviously, the next question they ask, Baba, are you doing tithing? Of course. And look at Mommy. Mommy said, of course, we both do tithing. You teach, you do. And this is how you teach, really teach your children. This day, we don't tithe. We talk about donation. Oh, well, I donate to the church because the church has needs. So I give it to the church. Donation is not same as tithing. So this is just to let you know the importance of the Lord God is one God. And then this is a Chinese saying. I try to translate into English in a very short words. Words into action. I think that words is a verb. Words into action. And Chinese is just say, you talk when you're sitting down, but when you get up, you do it. That's the meaning of this Chinese saying. You see, we love to talk in a Bible school class, or Sunday school class. We love to talk in a small group. We love to talk about God. We love to talk about the Bible. But when we get up, we don't do anything about it. We teach our children about God. Oh, tithing is good, you know. The scripture talk about it. Maybe the kids ask you, oh, I came back from church and my teacher told me that tithing is very important. So, Baba, what is tithing? And you have to explain what tithing is. And then maybe next question they ask you, do you do tithing, Baba? Oh, I can answer this question later, maybe, I know, when the time rises. You cannot directly answer. If you say, oh, I do offering. So the child is confused. Okay, so you don't do tithing, but you do offering. So and then you tell them, oh, actually, it's the same thing. No, not really. You see, this is what we do. When it comes to trust and follow God, we have a lot of words, yet we have very little of actions. Parents, we are, some of us are parents, some of you are future parents. I just want you to look at this and look at these verses. Teach, follow with actions. You cannot do it. You cannot teach your children to do something that you have not done it yourself. Very simple logic, right? How can you teach your children to do something and I expect them to do it, but you do not do it? So simple. We have a lot of words. We talk about it. We study the scriptures. We listen to the sermon. We drill into the Bible. But honestly, how many of us actually will get up and just do it? But this is what Moses said. I will teach you all the laws, command, decrees, but you are the one going to do it, not just listening to it. And I think this is a very important. And how can we reinforce that? In verse 7, 8, and 9, impress this into your children. How do you impress them if you do not do it yourself? How can you impress them? All they get is that my parents are hypocrites. They talk about religions, but they don't do anything. So this is religion. Listen, talk, no need to follow up. No need to do anything. So this is religion. Do you want our children to learn faith like that? And you expect God to bless you and bless your children? Because Moses clearly says that when we do all this, God is going to promise to bless us in the land of flowing milk and honey. Wonderful soil that grow crops, vegetables, vegetations. That's why there's so much milk, because the cow, the lamb, eat a lot of vegetation, honey, flowers everywhere. The land was good. And that is the promise. We want the promise, but we don't want to do anything about it. And I think that is the problem that we have today. And verses 7, 8, and 9 remind us that this is started from our hearts, and it will carry out, it will show up. It will show up in our children's life when they see their parents exercise what it means to follow Jesus. And then I put it, you know, around you, your wrist or whatever. Just remind you today, maybe on the phone, remind you every day as a verse pops up. Just to remind you to get closer to God and put it on the front line, in the front doors, because you want the community to understand, to know that you are Christians. You are the follower of Jesus. All this is because you have a heart to love God. You have a heart to respond by doing all those things, brothers and sisters. Today, I hope this is not just another sermon that you listen to and then do nothing about it. Teaching obedience is actually at home with parents. Seriously. You continue to hear me saying that because this is what I believe in. Pastors, children workers, youth pastors, we are here to support you. We are here to help you along the way. We all work together so that our next generations will be the true follower of Jesus. But you cannot just depend on us for the weekends that we have your children 2 or 3 hours a week and expect us to perform miracles upon your children. Doesn't work that way. Obedience requires only one thing. Just do it. It's not a commercial, okay? Just do it. If you think about it and then a so-called prayer about it and then you come up with all kinds of reasons not to do it, just do it. The promise of blessings all are coming because we truly believe this God, Yahweh, or Yahweh, the true creator of this universe. Obedience motivated by true fear and love toward God. I think they come together. If you look at the way Moses laid it out, I think fear to follow Jesus, that fear is respect, honor, but at the same time, I think there's some true fear in it. So that you will motivated to follow the rules, also the commands of God as we follow, the blessing comes, and the blessing comes that will that our response to appreciate this love and grace is love. Love will starting to show up, our true love for God. A lot of people said, I have a struggle to love God because I just don't know why I would love God because I haven't seen him yet. I don't really see whatever he's doing. So I cannot sense that strong love for God. But I want to tell you now, there's a formula right here. Chapter 6. Do what God asks us to do. When he's blessed you, you will respond to love him. And love him more as you continue this so-called circle. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we just want to give you thanks for what a wonderful privilege that we have children in our lives. Lord, we thank you because when children come, all of a sudden we have this huge responsibility, not just being a parent, but a Christian parent. How can I help? How can I support our children? So someday when they grow up, they will continue to love you, to fear God, and do what you ask us to do. Lord, we just pray that as a church, as a parents, as a Christians, we all learn, we all need to learn what it means to obey. Lord, we just pray that as Moses said that he was teaching the nation, and as a parent, as a pastor, I'm passing on this message to our church, our people, and encourage us as Christians, followers of Jesus, or parents. We need to teach our children with actions. We need to teach them at home now. Not like a screaming child. We try to control them when they were in the mall, and we try to tell them, shut up, don't scream. It's not the right place, and it was too late. We need to teach them at home much earlier. Lord, we just pray that as our parents, we need to live out what we know so that our children will learn what it means to follow Jesus in our daily lives. Lord, we thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.